see everybody here today. I want to tell you, God is good, and God has been blessing. And I always like to get away by myself. Kim and I were gone this weekend for a few days, and just had time to kind of sit on the beach and relax. And the first day we were there, I mean, I bet we didn't see 10 people around. I mean, there were people walking up and down the beach. We just didn't see a lot of people. And so it was a quiet time, a relaxing time. And, you know, I started getting into the Word. And as I got into the Word, the Lord started speaking some things to me. And you know what? When sometimes we get at that point in our relationship with God that we just need to get back to doing what we know to do and get back to the basics. Well, you know, the basics are we need to come to God, we need to get saved, we need to get filled with the Spirit, we need to get baptized in water, and then we walk out this life of faith, and what do? Everything we do from there on, from the time we receive Christ on, is we walk it out in faith. So faith is a very important part of what we do. It's basic. It's necessary. You know, this morning I was reading out of 2 Chronicles as I'm reading through the Bible in a year, and I hope you guys are still doing that with me. As I was reading through there, there was a scripture where the king of Judah had actually given money to Israel to hire troops to go into a battle and to fight. And so a prophet came to him and said, look, Israel's backslid, and you don't need to take Israel into battle with you. You just need to trust in God. And the king of Judah goes, but I've already given all of this money. And then the prophet's response was, well, can't God not only pay you back, but even do more? In other words, just consider that seed sown and move forward. And let me tell you something. There are people that get something in their craw about money that they've loaned, or where they feel that somebody's ripped them off, or they wrecked their car and they didn't fix it, or they're a sorry ex-spouse and they're not given any support, or whatever. But you know what? Our hope and our confidence is not in the person who wrecked our car. It's not in the person who isn't stepping up to their responsibilities and doing what they're supposed to do. Our confidence and our trust is supposed to be in God. Our faith is in God. People will let you down. You know that, right? Sometimes they're just bad people. Sometimes they're just good people that are going through stuff in their life and they're making decisions that they normally wouldn't make. So you know what? Give them a little room. Consider it seed sown and let it go and move on with your life. God is enough to supply the need and to take care of you. When you get married, your spouses are not everything to you. Do you know that? As a matter of fact, it's an impossible thought to think that your husband or your wife is going to be everything to you that you need. I'm telling you right now, God will be to you everything you need. And if that relationship is not right, the husband and wife relationship isn't going to be right. The parenting relationship isn't going to be right. The relationship with everybody else in our family isn't going to be right. None of those relationships are going to be right. Our faith, our trust, our confidence is in God. About meeting our needs, listen, if we're concerned about the very most basic things in life, about eating and what we're going to wear and that type of stuff, listen, that's a fear issue, and fear is the opposite of faith. And I'm going to tell you, the very fundamental basic part of faith is this, that I know that my God is going to meet my need and I'm not going to fear about that. Now listen, there's other stuff that goes on. Sometimes we've overextended ourselves. Sometimes we didn't overextend ourselves. However, we lost our job or whatever. Got our hours cut. Whatever it is. Here's what I do know. I know that God is able and capable to do exceeding abundant above all that I ask or think. Oh, but He doesn't just give you your wants. He'll meet your need. Well, the Bible also says that if I will delight myself in Him, which means I'm trusting Him and I'm praising my way out of this thing and I'm giving Him honor and glory and thanksgiving for all His goodness to me, then you know what? He's going to supply and meet my need. And He said that if I'll delight myself in Him, He'll give me the desires of my heart. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Romans. To the book of Romans. And I want you to go to chapter 10, and I want to start with verse 4. Chapter 10, verse 4. And how many of you know that God doesn't make any junk? Amen? You know, I think sometimes we may feel insignificant when it comes to things in the kingdom, that maybe God has forgotten about us or whatever. I like to watch them judge shows. I get on Kim's nerves watching them judge shows. But I got to tell you what, nobody better not mess with me legally because, man, I know my stuff. And I know that I should get stuff in writing and all that kind of stuff. And I know that if I ever got to go to court, don't go to Judge Judy's because she'll say, "Shut up, I didn't ask you." Don't mess with Judge Judy, all right? But I do like when I look at people like Judge Mathis, who was pretty much in the hood, in the gang, in jail, messing up. And he went from the jail to being a judge. And that is an awesome thing. So, you know, just because he had some bad things going on in his life doesn't mean that he couldn't get things turned around. And he did get things turned around. And, you know, all of us have things that, you know, we've not made right decisions or something bad happened or whatever. But we can get that thing turned around. We can get that thing turned around and God could turn that thing that was meant to put us under and He can turn it around for good. You look at the story of David. The prophet goes there and he knows that God's going to call the next king because God's taken the kingship from Saul. He knows that the next king is going to come from this family. And so he goes to this family. He said, "Bring out all the sons." And as he brings them out, he goes, "No." And these are big, strong, scrapping-looking boys, you know. And you look at them and you think, well, surely that one's going to be the king. Surely that one's going to be the king. Surely that one's going to be the king. But finally they got through all the boys. And he goes, "Is that all the sons that you have?" He goes, "All of them except one little shepherd boy that we got out there watching the sheep. We'll call for him." Well, can you imagine what he looked like when he come in there? He's been out tending the sheep. The Bible calls him red-haired ruddy, which means he was a red-headed, freckle-faced kid, who comes out and he's been with the sheep out in the field, staying with the sheep. I'm sure he smelt good, looked good, but he's just a little run of a kid. And that's the person that God chooses as king. And we know King David was a man of valor, and a man who was after God's own heart. So everybody else thought he was significant, even the brothers. Even the brothers going, "What are you doing out here? You just come out here so that you can look big in front of the people and because, in other words, because you're nosy. That's the only reason you came out here." His dad had sent him there to the war, to go out there to take supplies to the rest of the family. So listen, there is no insignificance in the kingdom of God. And no matter if you feel like you're forgotten, if you feel like that you're invisible and people don't see you, God sees you. Verse 4 of Romans chapter 10 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Okay, that's very important. The word is near you. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. So see, all of you have been here enough. And you've been around the word enough. That you got all kinds of word in you. It's in you. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. And I want to tell you this, it doesn't do any good if it's just in your heart and it isn't coming out of your mouth. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame, for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that pretty interesting too? Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, God's rich to all. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by rhema, revelation, word of God. In other words, the Bible as you see it in your hand right now, if you were just reading it, and you weren't getting anything really out of it, you were just reading it like it's a storybook or like it's a novel, that's the Logos Word of God. In other words, it's the Word of God, but it's not yet become revelation to you. But the Bible says, and faith comes by rhema, revelation, Word of God. So when it becomes a revelation to you, when it's in your heart, like you need to know it. For how many times did people tell you you needed to get saved before it became revelation to you and you got saved? How many times did people say, you know what, you need to give that to God before you realize, after you've done everything in all your power that you could do it, right? I mean, we've done everything we know to do. And then after there wasn't nothing else left we could do, we go, okay, and we told everybody we gave that to God 3 years ago, right? But really, after we'd done everything we could do 3 years later, and we really had done everything we could do and hit the fan, we ain't got nowhere else to go, then we really give it to God, and He takes care of it, right? But that's what we got to do. We got to give it to God. Luke 18:8 says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?" So here's what I'm telling you. God is looking for faith. God honors faith. What is it that you want to do? What is it that you want to see happen in your life? Then have faith. Have faith that God's going to take care of it. Have faith that God's going to do it. You know, sometimes we're having faith, but instead of having faith in God, we're having faith in a person. Well, listen. If I'm having faith, y'all have learned by now, right, that you can't make people like you and you can't make people love you. And the one thing that God's not going to do is change the will of someone. Because he doesn't change your will. He gives us the word that we can change our life with. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he'll not make us do anything that we don't want to do. Some people go, well, I'll tell you what, I don't want to look crazy like that, speaking in tongues. Well, don't worry. You won't. You know, if that's your biggest concern, how about that when you're baptized in the Spirit, that it changes your lives and things that you couldn't overcome previously, you now overcome because you've been immersed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How about that? Okay? People say, well, I don't want to look all crazy and raise my hand in church. That's okay. Holy Spirit ain't going to make you raise your hand in church. But you know what? Just let the devil win. Just let the devil win and not allow you to give God any praise. Well, I praise God in my heart. No, impossible. It's impossible. Because the Bible says we show forth the praises of God, which means we have to do something. And how do you do something in your heart that people can see? That God can see? We don't. You can worship God in your heart, but you can't praise God in your heart. Well, I tell you what, I don't ever want to be like that and get slain in the spirit and fall down in the floor. No, we wouldn't want you to get your, sorry Heather, bangs messed up and all that kind of stuff. Some people are concerned more about how things look than they are about having their life changed. But you know, if you don't, and what the Bible says, that what God has chosen to confound the world is the foolishness things of the world. Sometimes the world thinks it's foolish. The world thinks it's foolish that we give. I don't know if you know that or not. If you go to a financial planner that's not Christian and you're trying to get your finances together, if you tell them that you tithe and that that's one thing that you can't not do, they won't take your case because it's foolish to the world. I'm telling you it's foolish not to pay your tithe. Because they don't understand about blessing and cursing because they don't know enough about it. Who can read the Bible and say that tithing isn't New Testament anymore? Jesus said, you tithe and you ought to. And there's scripture after scripture after scripture in the New Testament, not just the Old Testament, but the New Testament. That confirms what God had put in the Old Testament and even before the law continues to be the same today. But see, there are people who don't want to that don't want to get along with that. But I'm telling you that what tithing is giving God what belongs to God, right? And that you have faith that He's going to do more with your 90 than you were doing messing up with your 100. And I can tell you from experience that's the way it was. Look with me, if you would, at Hebrews. So God's looking for faith. And He's not just looking that you're strong in faith when it comes to healing and that you're strong in faith when it comes to prosperity and you're strong in faith when it comes to getting people saved or you're strong. He's looking for people that He's looking for people that have faith in every area of their life and they just simply trust Him to do all the things in their life that need to be done. You know, are you consulting God about the decisions that you make? Are you consulting God? Let's say you're struggling in school and you want to make better grades in school. Are you praying and asking God and saying, look, God, I don't know what to do here, but you can help me. Or on the job, if we feel like we're not doing like we ought to do and that we think we can do better, are we asking God to help? Are we asking God to give us favor with our bosses? Are we, you know, are we asking God to teach us how to work our finances and teach us how to do some of these other things? I mean, some of the insignificant things that we would consider, have we asked God? Have we given our kids to God? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, that is God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So see, If you believe God is, and if you believe He is who He says He is, and He does what He says He does, then He will reward you if you seek Him. He tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from them. Some people go, I pray and I pray and I pray, and I just don't feel like God hears my prayers. Listen, if you prayed, He heard. Well, I haven't seen the answer yet. It might be because you keep saying, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Hey, if you prayed believing, then you've received it and you're thanking Him for it, whether you've manifested or not, and you're not telling Him how much that it ain't working. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So hold on to that thing like a dog on a bone and don't let it go. Faith is the expectation that God's divine nature is at work in me. In other words, what is our hope of glory? Christ in me. Christ in me is my hope of glory. And see, here's what I do. It's not that I'm all strong, but He said, let the weak say I'm strong. It's His strength. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. That's why I'm invincible. That's why the enemy can't get to me. That's why I'm going to win. The reason I'm going to win is because of who is in me. I can speak confidently because of what's in me and who is within me. Yeah, I may not have what it takes. I remember talking to a girl that had just gone through a bad situation that I've known for 20 some years, and she had just gone through a bad situation in a relationship and lied to pretty much for 20 some years. And we were sitting at the table, and I go, you know what? You can do this. And she just busted out crying in the restaurant, man. So here we are in the middle of a lunch hour. She's crying. She goes, people think I'm so strong, but I'm not. I'm not. Oh, yes, you are. Not in your own strength, you're not. Not in your own emotional situation, you're not. But you are in Him. You are in Him. With Him in you, there's not anything that you can't do. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look, if you would, to Philippians. Philippians. And I want you to go to chapter 2 and verse 12. Look, we don't just make a commitment to the promises of God, but we make a commitment to do what God's told us to do. We make a commitment. See, in Deuteronomy 28, He says there's the blessing and the curses. He said, if you do what I tell you to do, I'm going to bless you. If you don't do what I tell you to do, then cursing is going to come upon you. I give before you today a blessing and a curse. Which one will you receive? Well, we'll receive blessing if we will humble ourselves and do what He's told us to do. And He doesn't tell us what it is we're to do to hurt us. He tells us what it is to do for our own good, because those other things that we're doing are going to bring harm to us. It's not that He's trying to keep anything from us. He's trying to keep us from being harmed. He's trying to keep us in the middle of having blessing and receiving what God has for us. So as much as we obey the promises, we have to also obey the commands. Verse 12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. He says, so look, you've obeyed in my presence, but you've also obeyed in my absence. Who are we fooling? I mean, if the Spirit of God resides on the inside of us, and He does, then when we're out thinking that we're going to do something that nobody knows about, you don't think God knows about it? God knows everything about it. You know, so who really in the long run, as all these other people that we're fooling, or we think we're fooling, okay, maybe we think we're getting over on them, but the one that really counts, God, who, if that relationship ain't right, no other relationship's right, who do we think we're fooling? Nobody. Faith is a verb. It requires action. Well, I've done everything I need to know. I've done everything I know to do. You have? Well, have you, you know that we're to take God's word and to take his promises and to pray believing and we'll receive it. And when we prayed believing is when we received it, whether it's in my hand or not. So if I've done everything I know to do, then I've done everything I know to do. And instead of saying I've done everything I know to do, I'm saying by faith I've received what it is that I believed. I'm not gonna back off of it. Thank you, Father, that you've provided that in my life. Look with me if you would. Look, by the way, chapter 11 of Hebrews starts off, now faith is. Faith is now. I received it when I believed it praying. Okay? Not one day, somehow, some way, one day. That's hope. And hope's not bad, but it's not faith. Faith is now. I received it when I prayed believing. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Listen. The just shall live by faith. Just are the justified. Those that their life is like just as if they never sinned. So if you came to Christ, God took all your sin, threw it into the sea of forgetfulness, and it's just as if you never sinned. The just will live by faith. But the Bible says if we turn back and quit, then that's not pleasurable to God. That's not pleasing to God. We can't set our eye like a flint. Like, this is what I'm going to do. And this is what I believe God's going to do. And because it didn't happen in our own timing, so what do? We let it take a long time for us to get in a mess. And we wanted God to fix it immediately. And when he didn't do it immediately, then we turned back. That's not pleasing to God. And that's not faith. That might resemble a bailout plan. And we all know those don't work. Verse 39. But we are not of those that draw back. The just aren't. People of faith aren't. We don't draw back. We don't turn around and quit. We keep believing God till we get what it is that we're believing God for. We don't draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. I believe that I'm blessed. I believe that I'm prosperous. I believe that I'm healed. I believe that I'm delivered. I believe that I got joy. I believe that I got peace. I believe that I have victory and not defeat. You know, on and on and on. I need to believe who the Bible says I am. The Bible says I'm a joint heir with Jesus. You don't ever see Jesus walking around going, how are you doing today? And he goes, well, I just don't know if I can take it one more day. I've just about had all I can take. Aren't you glad, number one, we don't see that Jesus ever did that? And aren't you glad that we've got an example of what we know to do. And Jesus didn't stop and pray over everything. He spoke to it. And what did he speak? He spoke the word. He spoke the word. He'd say, he didn't say, okay, let me pray for you, honey. He'd say, thou deaf and dumb, thou foul, deaf and dumb spirit, come out. He'd say, rise up, stand up, walk. Get up, take your mat, and go. Right? He spoke to it. Now look, the world will think you're crazy if you do that. But that's okay. I think the world's crazy. So if the world's crazy and they're acting goofy, and they do, I was telling them yesterday we were in Daytona. And they had this big bike thing for the MS Society and they had hired this band and the guys come out wearing black capes and black robes like Count Dracula with green, spiky, you know, what do you call them? Mohawks. Except it was something they put on their head. It was like white hair dyed green, you know. Looked like something you'd swept the floor with, but you sprayed it with green paint. And you know, and they're out there playing 8675309 and Journey and all this stuff. And we're thinking, okay, that's the world. And you look at these people, and you know, some of the celebrities that we have out there and some of the antics that they have, they're crazier than loons. But they're big rock stars and everybody thinks the world of them. But if I go and speak the word, people think I'm crazy. If I stand confident on the word, people think I'm crazy. Well, you know what? But I'm going to win. I'm going to get victory. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus. So would I rather be more concerned about that or rather I be concerned about goofy stuff? And I'm not worried and concerned if people think I'm goofy because I believe in God and because I believe in the Word and I believe His Word works. Proverbs chapter 4, turn there with me, Proverbs. And if you go to chapter 4, chapter 4, go to verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all your flesh. Listen to this. The word of God is health to your flesh. I wonder why. Okay, so I handed out a week or so ago Dodie Osteen's scriptures that she quoted over her life when she was going through a bout of cancer. She did that 30-some years ago, but to this day she still quotes those healing scriptures over her life every day. Well, I wonder why that works. Because it says, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. God's word is health. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Do you know that everything that you think about, everything that you go through is really a matter of the heart? And it's really a spiritual battle. It's really a spiritual thing that we're going through. Everything that we walk through is spiritual in nature. Oh, no, it's not spiritual. It's that person. No, it's not that person. It's that spirit that's trying to defeat you operating in that person. Well, it seems to be happening with the same person every time. Okay, well, you know what? It'll probably keep on until it ain't bothering you no more. Until you get over it. They do work, don't they? Faith is of the heart. The issues of life flow from the heart. You don't have to turn there, but you could write it down if you want to. Matthew 12:35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. So you know what? You can tell what's going on in there by what's coming out and by what you allow to come out. Hey, if you decide that you know it's not right, but you're going to give them a piece of your mind anyhow, you know, sometimes we don't really show our intelligence by the things that we say. Sometimes we'd have a whole lot, it looked like, and probably would be, that we would have a lot more intelligence by the things we didn't say. Because you know what? We know that other person's just waiting for us to tell them. They're just waiting for us to say something. Right? Because they've done thought before you they ever had that discussion with you. They already know what they're going to say back. They wouldn't know what to do if you didn't fight back with them. They thrive on that. They do what they do to push your buttons, and it works. So who's manipulating who? But a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, is going to bring forth good things. Christian people ought to be bringing forth good things. You know, the Bible says blessing and cursing shouldn't come out of the same mouth. Right? So, you know, well, I slip one every once in a while when I get mad. Well, why? Well, I didn't mean it. Oh, yes, you did. You did mean it. And if it wasn't there, it wouldn't have come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if it wasn't there, it would never came out. So if you really want to work on something, work on why it's even there. Much less if it's going to come out when you're mad. I can tell you, I've hurt myself since I've been a Christian. And I didn't cuss. Do you know that that's not a normal, natural response? You don't have to cuss. You don't have to say something ugly just because you're hurt. You don't have to say something ugly because somebody got on your nerves and hurt you. You don't have to cuss because somebody's cussing at you. Well, they were cussing at me. Well, let them be the nuthead. You don't got to be a nuthead. Hey, if it ain't there, it don't come out. Get rid of it. How do you do that? The word, the word, the word, the word. Blessing and cursing shouldn't come out of the same mouth. That's what the word says. I don't care if people think it's cool. I don't care if that's just what people say. That's not what God's people say. And I'm telling you, it ain't cool. And you know, all the stuff that we say, and we all are guilty of this, all the stuff that we say, to keep from cussing, like flipping and freaking and all that. Hey, we all know what that means. We all know what you really wanted to say. Oh, but I didn't cuss. Okay. Out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks. Romans chapter 10, the word of faith. Let me tell you, church, I believe that the power of God has the power over sin in my life. I believe in Matthew 28, and that it's for us today, that Matthew 28, where he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall speak with new tongues. You know, same thing in Mark 16. All that stuff that it says that happens and we're supposed to be doing, I believe that that's all for us today. I believe in the salvation and the power of God in my life And here's what I believe about that power. I believe that that power is enough power to give me victory over every area of my life and give me victory in everything that I need to do. So I go on vacation just a few days, and I get a few days, and I get a little bit of time by myself, and I start back getting in the Word, and I take a look at what's going on. And I'm thinking, you know what? I've gotten to where I'm just in the hurry all the time. I'm just in a hurry all the time. And do you know that whether I run or whether I... Do you know that if you run 4 miles or if you walk 4 miles, that you burnt the same amount of calories? Did you know that? It takes you twice as long to walk, but you burn the same amount of calories. Well, let me tell you something. I can get to where I'm going without having to run all the time. And here's the other part I know, that if I'll take the time, so am I getting everything in? Yep. But I'm uneasy in my spirit about it. And I don't want to be uneasy in my spirit. You don't see where Jesus was like that, do you? Jesus never got uptight about anything ever. He just went along through his day. Something came up to try to slow him up. He's like, he just speak the word over it. Boom, boom. Speak the word over it. And he just kept on. He didn't let it slow him down or stop him. When an assignment came, he came and dealt with the assignment. And then he just kept on walking. But he didn't let it get in a hurry. And he got the same things done as he would have gotten done had he just been out there running crazy. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we just need to take an inventory and calm things down a little bit. Just calm it down. Hey, the reason why you're not calm in your spirit is because your life isn't calm. You're running, 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 running. You can't just run, 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 run. You got to calm it down. Hey, get it under the Word. It doesn't have to get done today. You know, if the Lord comes today, good. You ain't got to worry about all that stuff you had to do. If the Lord don't come today, you just keep working at it and do the best you can till you get done. Well, I'm under a timeline. Okay. Well, do your best, but don't let it get you all uptight in your spirit. But don't procrastinate either. I believe it's in God's will over my own will. In other words, I believe that if I'll follow what God's words told me to do, and if I'll do what God's told me to do, how He's told me to do it, I won't have to worry about my will getting in the way, because I'll learn that when I took a little time and the Lord said, peace be still and calm it down a little bit, that I just need to be still and let Him calm it down a little bit. And guess what? I'm the captain of that ship. God ain't going to make me do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take a little more time in my Word time. I've learned that I can get out and pray, and sometimes I can pray and pray an entire prayer. Have you ever read the Bible and read a chapter, and then when you got done, think about what you just learned, and you didn't get nothing out of it because you read it just like you were reading a book? I've done that and then got convicted and went back and read it again, this time till I understood. I go, I'm going to read this thing a verse at a time till I understand one verse. Well, you know, it can be the same way in life. We can be praying, and we can pray all kinds of words and not even really realize what it is that we've said and what the meaning of it was. Look at Genesis. Genesis And I want to go to chapter 50. I want to go to verse 20. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. This is Joseph speaking to his brothers after they've sold him into slavery. But yet God's elevated him everywhere he's ever gone. He's now the second in charge of all of Egypt. God sent him there ahead of time to save his entire family and the remnant of Israel. And look at verse 20. Here's what he tells his brothers. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So look, there's been things that came in your life that the enemy sent to destroy you, if you let it. But here's what Joseph knew. Joseph knew his brothers were always jealous of him. And what you know what they were jealous of? His father did love him more than he loved the other kids. But the real jealousy was over the anointing in his life. I've seen preachers and pastors and associates that the pastor is jealous of the anointing on the associate and forces the associate out. You know, I've seen a lot of people involved in music in the church fall, have affairs and all that kind of stuff. You know what? Those people aren't attracted to that person necessarily. They're attracted to the anointing that's on that person's life to play and sing like that. The anointing. The enemy is always out to destroy the anointing and destroy the lives of people. But you know, what the enemy meant for bad and what the enemy meant to take you down with, God said that if you'll look at it the right way, I'll turn that thing into good. What the enemy meant for evil, I meant for good. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to bless you as a result of what you've been through. Any of us that have been through the fire before, and we all have, we all know that as tough as some of that fire was to walk through, that when we got out on the other side, we realized that was the best thing in the world that ever happened to us, that all that mess we thought was there wasn't nothing we needed anyhow. And it made us stronger when we got out to the other side. We look back and we go, what was I thinking? I know that as a business owner, I've had people within my business that they just would not have any accountability. But they had such an important part of what they did here that I thought that I couldn't do without them, and I was too busy to even fool with it. And then something would happen, and that person would go, and I'm like, what am I going to do now? And then I come to find out, and I go, why in the world did I put up with that all? Nobody's above that. Nobody's above. You know, if you have an organization, you can't go tell your boss what to do. You can tell him what you're not going to do, but you probably won't work there no more. Right? And I'm going to tell you straight up, I ain't real good with ultimatums. Personal life or business life. If they come in and they go, well, I tell you what, if you don't do that, and I go, love you. See you. Wouldn't want to be you. They go, really, you're going to let it be like that? And I go, yeah, especially because you came in here. You know, if you want to answer right this minute, you won't give me an ultimatum, I can give you an answer. I can make a decision. You ain't going to like it. But you don't do that. Right? And what the enemy meant for bad, God will take that thing and turn it into good. Habakkuk 2 and 4 also says, the just shall live by faith, trusting and relying that God is at work in me. Here's what he says in the Word. I want you to think about this now. The work that I began in you, I'll be faithful to complete it. So when you came to God, you got saved, that's when the work started. He said the work that he started in you, he will be faithful to complete it. In other words, there's things that we have in our life that we came to God with that get in our way of fulfilling what God has for us in his ultimate plan. Some people never get away from it. Why do you think some people are comfortable going to a church where they believe that God doesn't perform miracles anymore and that God doesn't heal and that God's in control of everything? You do know that God's not in control of everything because He's not in control of human will. He's not going to make you... People go, well, if God wanted to stop 911, He could have. Yeah, He could have. But see, He won't intervene in the will of man, and those were evil men that did that. The church could have prayed and stopped it. The church could have interceded and intervened. But you know, why does God let bad things happen to good people? God doesn't let bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen, and people either come to God with it or they don't. Do you know that? God doesn't let bad things happen to good people. God loves you. He wants to do you good. He's a good God. Faith is a way of life. Faith isn't an experience. Faith isn't a moment. But I got to tell you, we as Christians have just got to believe God and to receive. Look at Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Look, I'm going to fill you up with this word today because we need it. You're not a footstool for people nor the enemy to step on. You got something greater in you than that. Look at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, you can run. You can try to run from what it is that God's wanting to do. You can try to get out there and get out from under what it is that God's trying to do in your life and what God has for you in your life. But you know, some things that didn't happen like you wanted it to happen, didn't happen because it wasn't the best thing for you. You know, I've always wondered, and I told my kids this, I go, well, why would you want to date that person? Because they're not Christian, they don't have any Christian background or anything like that. Why would you want to date that person? Well, you know, they're kind of cute and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, but why would you waste your time dating or seeing somebody who... If the Bible says don't be unequally yoked, and that doesn't mean black and white and white and yellow and white and red and all that, unequally yoked means spiritually. Why would you yoke yourself with somebody, number one, who's not Christian, who's not living the Christian life, and who's not going to be a candidate for you to marry in the first place? Why would you do that? Because here's what happens. We hook up with them, and then we start having a relationship, and now I got a soul tie. That guy hit you. And you want to go back? But I love him. I'm going to tell you, if somebody hit you and you want to go back, if that ain't a soul tie, if that's love, I don't want none of it. I can get hit in a bar. I ain't got to go home to my loving wife and let her knock me out. Right? Don't tell me I love him. And what are you doing, Christian people? You know you're setting yourself... That's right, you listen to that, baby. Don't set yourself up for failure by not... And look, I don't care how sweet and lovable you are, they'll play the game to get what they want, but you're not changing them. Oh, wait till I get them in there. I'll get them in church. Well, tell them if they want to date you, they can start by getting in church. Then maybe you can date. But I'm going to tell you, if God's going to finish the work that He started in you, You can't be going wasting your time in these places with somebody who's not a candidate. Well, what do? Just take them out for coffee and say, are you a Christian? Well, that'd be a good start. Well, I asked them, they don't even drink coffee. Well, have them drink a Diet Pepsi or water or something. Just sit down across from them and say, I just need to know there's some things that are deal breakers with me. Are you Christian? And if they're going to go to Tanner's with you, or what's that place up there, Ride'em Cowboy up there behind the Trissy Treat? Huh? Boots and Buckles, Ride'em Cowboy, wee-haw! Hey, whatever you're, the Green Parrot. Hey, whatever your choice is, hey, if that's where they're wanting to meet you, they might not be a candidate. Because they may be a little more free in their faith than you are in yours. Me and Kim walked into the Hilton. They were having a denominational conference in the Hilton. These four girls come in wearing shirts that had the name of their church. And on the back it had like explosive evangelism and had a world globe all over the back of it. And they come in with a case of beer in both arms. I'm going, them dudes are explosive evangelism. And the world, now look, I'm a pastor, so I'm watching this going on. I could imagine all the people in the hotel that wasn't believers and going, that right there is exactly why I don't want to have nothing to do with the church right there. Because they're a bunch of hypocrites. Well, hypocrites got to start somewhere. Church would be good. Right? However, they're right. They're right. Hey, I'm at this conference. I'm going to suck me down a few Coronas with my limes over here. And come to Jesus. Where were you at? Oh, I used to say we was hitting the bars, man. Not them. Street evangelism. Come to Jesus. Come on now. Listen. You know, it's funny, but it's not. You know, you can't say, well, God understands and do it not the biblical way. What you're really saying is, I'm going to go mess this thing up and just pray God can fix it. But you don't start off, he who knoweth to do good and to doeth it not to him or her, it's a sin. Flee the very appearance of evil. Well, that's not necessarily evil. That's just somebody I like. Okay, but they ain't a candidate. They could be a candidate. Well, good. Get them saved. Get them under the word for about a year, and then maybe they're a candidate. Faith doesn't say God's far from me. Faith says the word is near me. It's in my mouth. And it's in my heart. Malachi chapter 3 verses 13 through 15 says, your word have been stout against me, says the Lord, saying it is useless to serve God. What profit is it? What's he saying here? The same thing I tell you about everything else. He's just talking about giving. What he was saying was, I tried that tithing thing and it didn't work. I couldn't even pay my bills. I tried that faith thing, but I didn't get healed as fast as I wanted to, so I quit. I tried to believe God for a mate, and I went a whole weekend without a date. Might have been the best weekend you ever had. Let me tell you something. If you know that your words have been stout against God, You need to correct what you say. But what we say does come from our heart. So we've got to correct what's in our heart. How do we correct what's in our heart? The Word. Now listen, I'm going to say something to you here. Don't take this the wrong way. But where is your Bible right now? Okay? When's the last time you saw it? When's the last time you looked at it? When's the last time you read one verse when you wasn't in church? I'm going to turn the world upside down with that loaf of bread. What's that thing on the table called the bread of life? It's got the little thing you pull out there. Jesus wept. Praise God. We're going to turn the world upside down with Jesus wept, ain't we? Get in the book. James chapter 3. A couple more verses and I'll quit. James chapter 3. Go to verse 6. Let me tell you, the source needs to be checked and the source needs to be renewed, because the issues of life flow out of the heart, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And James 3 says this, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on the fire of hell. Man, I've heard so many scorching sermons about this verse right here, about these verses, where it's talking about that tongue going to send you to hell. I mean, I've heard that you can't control that thing, that fire. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now look, if we read this, it's hard not to preach a sermon like that, right? Because it says, the tongue no man can tame. And I'm sure, I just ain't ran into him yet, but I'm sure I will. Somebody's going to say, well, the Word of God says that no one can tame the tongue anyhow. Yeah. Well, you know what? You're exactly right. No man can. But God can. God's Word can tame the tongue. That's why it says that a man who doesn't, or woman who doesn't sin with their tongue, with their mouth, is a perfect man in all their ways. You know why? Because there's only been one person who ever did that. Jesus. And when we blow it, normally, think about it. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. But when we sin, normally, how did we do it? We opened up that gator and we let something out that should have never came out. It's an unruly evil. No man can tame it. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be. Doth the fountain send forth to the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh, because as you all know, living in Florida, that if fresh water and salt water get together, it's brackish water. It's got salt in it. It's messed up. How do you get the salt out? You don't. A perfect man is that can control their tongue. They're perfect in all their ways. We need to bring our mouths into subjection with the Word of God by getting the Word of God in our heart. And you can't do it if you don't know where your Bible's at. Well, I know right where it's at. Okay. When's the last time you pledged that thing, knocked the dust off of it? Now look, I don't know who reads and who don't read and who's in the book and who isn't in the book. But I'm telling you, that's where you got... Do you know that there's no shortcuts? I don't care how long you become a Christian and how long you're a Christian. There's no way to get around this. You grow in your faith by reading and studying the book, which is the literal Word of God, which is how you get to know Him and who He is and what His heart is, and you pray. Relationship. Well, how do I get closer to God? Just like you get closer to somebody you were dating that you thought you might want to marry. Spend time with them. Really? Ain't that how it happens? You spend time with them. Get to know them. How does faith work? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. Now listen. Reading is good, but we also need to hear it preached and taught. Some people need to cut the music off in their car, and you need to download a bunch of sermons, and until you get victory over some stuff, you don't need to listen to anything but word, 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 word. I'm going to tell on Courtney. She told Kim, she goes, did you have to listen to preaching all the way down to Daytona? Were you in my truck? Then yes, you did. Because I don't listen to a lot of Christian radio. Nothing's wrong with it. And I love Christian music. But Christian music don't do for me what good faith preaching. I had Keith Moore going. I had Pastor Callahan going. I had Jerry Savelle going. I had Kenneth Copeland going. I got that going in my truck all the time, all the time. Sometimes I'm not able to, you know, because I'm doing other stuff, I'm not hearing exactly everything that's going on, but I got it cranking, and sometimes if I don't think I listen to it good enough, I'll crank that thing again. And I'll just turn it back till I get it. Faith comes by hearing, preached and taught. And hearing comes by rhema, revelation, Word of God. Believe with the heart, and it believes unto righteousness. What's that mean? It helps develop my character. It helps me to have integrity. It helps me to be faithful. It helps me to be truthful. All of those things. And look at Proverbs 4. I want to go back there. Verse 24. Hey, Doug, you put that up in the New King James for me? Or actually the New Living Translation. Proverbs 4, 24 through 27. I like this version. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. And don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. In other words, don't let anything come out of your mouth that lines up with that doesn't line up with the Word of God. And keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the path. If we were the Wizard of Oz, we'd be talking about follow the yellow brick road till you get to where you're going. You know, they've got a finance commercial right now going, where do you want to get with your finances? Well, follow the line. And it's got a green line that goes all these places to follow where they want to go in their lives. Well, you know what? That's what we've got to do with the Word of God. If you want to get what it is that you want, and if you want to get what it is you need, then you got to keep your eye on the prize, and you can't let go, and you can't compromise. We cannot compromise. If we compromise, we can't blame anybody else. It was us. We made that decision to do that. Right? And sometimes we make the decision, and it wasn't that we didn't think about the decision. We really did have good intentions. Right? But you know what? We had a good intention override what the Spirit of God was trying to tell us, which is always going to line up with what the Word says. Confession. We need to speak the same thing that the Word says about us. Right confession is going to acknowledge what God says. And look, don't walk around speaking King James Version, but at least say what lines up with the Word. Let the weak say, I don't think I can do it anymore. I can't handle any more of this. But the Word says, let the weak say I am strong. I'm so broke I can't pay attention. Okay? The Bible says, let the poor say I am rich. That's not what the Word says about you. You know? So what do I tell the kids when the finances aren't there and say, you know what? God will provide. We're going to be able to do these things. God's going to take care of this thing. I'm not saying no. I'm saying not right now. Right? You don't have to get into a bunch of negative, you know. My kids come in there. Well, you think I'm a bank? Or they could get a job, depending on their age. I was working 10 years old, delivering newspapers every night and every morning. I found a little ad in the back of some magazine, I don't even know where it was, but it said, "So gold-plated Social Security cards, $1 a piece." So you know what I did? I went out in the neighborhood and sold gold-plated Social Security cards to everybody in my city, about 250 of them. I think we had population 10,000. But I sold 250 gold-plated Social Security cards for $2 a piece. Made me $250. I've always been entrepreneurial. They didn't tell you to do that. I thought, I can get them for $1. I bet I can sell them for $2. They could have gotten the same magazine and got them for $1. But they didn't, and they bought mine for $2. Let me do the legwork for them, right? That's back when you could let somebody have your Social Security number. But you know what? I mowed every yard in town. I'd take my bare feet, my mower with a gas can, and went there. If your grass wasn't mowed, I was knocking on your door. 10 years old. You know where I spent all that money? Pizza Hut. I did. Took all my friends to Pizza Hut. They didn't have no money, but they didn't mind eating my money. But I didn't care. I've always been a giver. Really was. Back in the partying days, you've all met those people partying, right? Hey, man, if I had a bag, it was everybody's bag. Roll up the bag. Let's finish the bag. But the same person that bought a bag when I bought a bag, ain't never pulled his bag out. And when my bag was gone, he left. But I've always been a giver. Dougie, need to head them off at the pass. The Word says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. Let me tell you something. We have to stand on the Word. If we believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, then we've got to do what the Word says to do, and you can't back off of it. And we can't do part of it. We got to do all of it. Right? We can't just... Remember, I've shared with y'all many times, favorite Word people. We just can't pick out a few that we like and go, I'm going to obey them, and then think God's going to understand when we twist all around the other ones because we've we've made it up in our mind that that's what we're going to do, and then we try to make excuses for that's why we did it. But let me tell you something. There's a way to change that. And the way we change it is we change our confession, and we keep our confession in line with what God's Word says. And if you do that, it will change your life. It will change your life. I remember watching one of the greatest comebacks in football ever. Was the Buffalo Bills were playing somebody. I don't know who it was. Jim Kelly got knocked out of the game. And this guy comes in. And man, he is unconscious, huh? Did you know who I'm talking about? But he comes in this game. And man, he is unconscious. He's throwing. Man, and they come back and they win this game without their star quarterback. And this guy ain't took a snap all year. And it's like the, right at the playoffs. And so they interview him, and they said, what was going through your mind? And man, this dude gave a testimony for God. And he said, and I was singing this hymn that had, it was kind of along the lines, I can do all things, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he said, I'm sitting there in the huddle, and all I've got is that thing going on in my mind. I can do all things, I can do all things, I can do all things. And has the greatest game like in history for the Buffalo Bills. And I'm like, wow. And I've read testimony after testimony after testimony of people that did that. Well, that's the way we got to be. So here's what we're going to do today. I want everybody to stand with me. Because what we're going to do is, we're going to pray, but we're going to handle this confession thing. Now listen, I want to encourage people today that if you haven't been in the book, get in the book. And if you don't have preaching going on in your car, get it. Don't just download any preaching. Download some good faith preaching. Get you some Creflo Dollar or some Bill Winston or some Jerry Savelle or some Jesse Duplantis or some Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin or I like Joel Osteen or, hey, they all have MP3s on their website. You can download the MP3s right to a disc. You can download them to an MP3 player. If you got one of those cars that's got the little plug-in, you can put your plug-in right into your car stereo. And if I were you, I'd just keep that going and going and going and going. Well, I like music. Well, good. Right now we need word. Well, my music has word. Not enough word. You just need word. Intensify your prayer time. Bump it up 5 minutes from what it is. Intensify your word time and watch your life change. I'm telling you, if you will get in the habit, 21 days it becomes a habit. If you'll get in the habit of it, you'll continue to do it. And if you're like me, if you get too busy to do it, you're like, wow, I'm too busy not to do it. And the Lord will check your spirit. You'll find time to do it. You'll find that your day goes better if you start it that way. I promise you it does. So I want to pray this morning, and then I want to have a time of confession, and we're going to take care of this thing. Don't matter who we are, where we're at, what we confess this morning will change things for us. Father, I love you today, and I thank you for your people. I thank you that your word has penetrated. The Bible says it's living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged, two-mouthed sword. My word confessing what your word has already said about us. And Father, that's what we're talking about today. Our confession lines up with what your word says. So Father, this morning, I'm just going to pray for everybody in here, and I'm going to pray that that word is deep in our hearts, and we're going to have a time of confession just as you've instructed me. So with eyes closed and heads bowed, I want you to repeat this with me. And I was going to say, I want you to repeat it with me if you believe what I'm saying, but you do believe what I'm saying. Okay, so here we go. So say, Father, I love you. I thank you for your word. I rebuke every idle word that I've spoken out of fear, out of worry, and out of doubt. I'm not going to repeat those again.